Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus answered them as they were gathered in a circle around him, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we have a beautiful picture of people sitting in a circle around Jesus as he rejoices that they are the family of God, his mother, his brothers, and sisters under the heavenly Father, the one Father of us all. Today we have this beautiful picture of Jesus surrounded by disciples in a circle as he sits in the middle of them and teaches them what it means to be in God's family. Often when you have a family reunion, the family will gather in a big circle and begin to share stories of mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, brothers and sisters when they grew up in the family. And it reestablishes the relationships that you have with your cousins, with your uncles, aunts, your brothers and sisters, and your parents. I come from a large family. I'm the oldest of 8 children. My mom and dad have 31 grandchildren. And one of the things that we enjoy the most is mom and dad gets in the middle of the circle and begins to tell stories about the life of our family. Well, today we rejoice that we are in God's family. That in circling around Jesus, our shepherd, our savior, our brother, and our friend, we are all part of God's family. I recall this banner when it was made in 2001 when we added the whole new wings to our church. And our theme still is one family in our church and our school and our campus ministry. Whether we have divine services, whether we're teaching children in the school and Sunday school, or bringing the gospel onto the campus, in reality, we are all part of God's family as we gather around him in word and sacrament. The reason why we even have the boards and the council of this church for your abilities, your vocations, and callings in this place is so that we as God's family in this place can be used by God to bring others into the Lord's family. And what a blessed day when we have that eternal family reunion when our Lord Jesus Christ returns in glory. So, in holy baptism, you've been incorporated into the body of Christ and the family of God. Let us today, as we're in a circle around Jesus hearing his word, ask ourselves, what does it mean to be in God's family? First, let's look at the kingdom and the house of Jesus. Secondly, the work of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, the true family of God. As they're seated in a circle around Jesus, he teaches them what the true kingdom and house of Jesus is. Jesus has come home to Nazareth, his hometown. There he was known as the carpenter's son, the stepson of Joseph. He was true man. And the people in his hometown had heard about miracles and teachings he had been doing. His fame preceded him, so a great crowd gathered around him. They couldn't even eat. There were so many people. His family does not yet believe in him. His family thinks he is out of his mind. They try to seize Jesus. This is amazing. Jesus' deity was so hidden in his earthly form that his own brothers and sisters just considered him their older brother. A carpenter like their father Joseph. Jesus was true man, shares our flesh and blood. The scribes coming down from Jerusalem don't believe in him either. They say something outrageous. Oh, he is possessed by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. That's how he's driving out the demons. Satan and his evil angels. Jesus, teaching us about the kingdom and house of God, first of all shows the absurdity of what these people were teaching. Satan is driving out his own kingdom. A kingdom can't fight itself. Of course I am not driving these devils out by the power of the devil, but by the power of God. The gospel is that Jesus has come into our house to defeat the works of the devil, to crush him. You see, Jesus in person is God's home, God's kingdom, and God's strong man. In fact, Jesus is the strong man who comes into Satan's house, binds him, and plunders Satan's house, taking back that which the devil has stolen. Jesus is the man who comes to defeat the work of the devil and bring us into the house of God. That was foretold by the Old Testament lesson this morning in Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, when the Lord came walking in the cool of the garden to talk to Adam and Eve, in the person of Jesus Christ, God has walked among us and will bring us into the heavenly garden. Genesis 3:15 is the first promise of Jesus coming to crush the devil, that there will be enmity between the woman's seed and the devil's seed, mankind and the demons, but that Jesus, the seed of the woman, would come to crush the head of the serpent. But in so doing, he would be bruised and pierced in hands and feet. It cost him his life upon the cross at Calvary, but through that death, he defeated the one who was the power of death, the devil. So the kingdom and the house of God is found in the person of Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man, even now shares our flesh and blood at the right hand of God. So sitting in a circle around Jesus, the people learn about the kingdom and house of God. But then secondly, they learn about the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, all sins will be forgiven, the children of man, whatever blasphemies they uttered. Meaning when we sin and we repent and have true faith, we will be forgiven. But Jesus says, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. He's guilty of an eternal sin because he's called the Holy Spirit an unclean spirit or a demon. This sin that cannot be forgiven, the sin against the Holy Spirit, is not the breaking of one of the Ten Commandments. We do that all the time. Sins of thought, word, and deed, and we repent like we did at the beginning of the service and receive absolution. The sin against the Holy Spirit is unbelief. Cutting oneself off from God, no repentance, no faith, no forgiveness, no salvation. If you're watching your television show that you like, and someone goes and pulls the plug out of the socket, the television goes blank. It's disconnected. That's what people do when they will not believe. When they will not believe, they disconnect themselves from God through unbelief. They're not forgiven because they don't want forgiveness, and they don't even believe in God at all. That is the sin against the Holy Spirit, unbelief. Instead, the purpose of the work of the Holy Spirit is to give you faith in your heart now and in eternity. The work of the Holy Spirit points you to the completed work of Christ on the cross, that in the name of Christ Jesus, you have forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness for the children of men, repenting because of all of our blasphemies, and being filled with the Holy Spirit means we cast aside our own righteousness because we have none, and we cling to the eternal righteousness earned by Jesus Christ, who kept the law perfectly for us and died the death that we deserved. And when the wrath of God fell upon him, through faith in the name of Jesus Christ, we are declared holy, innocent, and without blemish. We cast aside ourselves and throw ourselves on Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who creates that faith to believe in the name of the Son of God, and that believing in Him, you have life in His name. So as the people in the circle listen to Jesus talk about what the kingdom and house of Jesus is, and learn about the work, the true work of the Holy Spirit, to create joyful faith in our hearts, He then finally explains what does it mean to be the true family of God. Remember this. Jesus, in His incarnation as the eternal Son of God, became flesh in the womb of Mary. He is, in the mystery of the communication of the attributes within Jesus, being both true God and true man, and the two natures of Christ in one person, this joyful and true mystery. He makes us part of the family of God because He became a part of the family of man. When He was born in Bethlehem, He became one of us. When He walked this earth with sandals on His feet, ate bread and drank water, He is and became one of us. When He died on the cross in our place, truly as the second Adam dying in our place, He enables us to be the part of the true family of God. Now, just like you, Jesus had an earthly family. He had Joseph as a stepfather. Mary was His mother. We know of at least four brothers, and He also had sisters. So Jesus was the oldest of a family of at least seven children. Initially, they didn't believe in Him. But by the time of His resurrection, His brothers, His sisters, and of course His mother all the way, were believers in Christ and part of the 120 believers in the book of Acts. They knew that this one, their brother, was also the resurrection and the life. And after Christ's resurrection and ascension, His brothers were part of the formation of that early Christian church. And in fact, the book of Jude and James are written by His half-brothers, Jude and James, and they were part of God's family now. But we are part of God's heavenly family. We come from many races of men as Christians, many different languages, many different traditions, cultures, and colors of skin. But because we are part of the body of Christ, the church, through holy baptism, God is our Father, and we are one another's mothers and sisters and brothers. Jesus said, "Whoever does the will of God is my mother and sister and brother." You notice He never says Father. There's only one Father, the Heavenly Father of Christ and our Heavenly Father. I think what is so beautiful about being a pastor of a congregation is that we are all each other's mothers, sisters, and brothers. Some people come from homes where they don't have a mother or a father, but when they come here to church, they have you as their brother, their sister, or their mother. People come from various different families. They've lost someone to death. They have a broken family. But when we come here, we can show mercy to one another and consider those who are your age, your sisters or brothers. Someone who would be older than you, like your mother. Those who are younger than you are like your children. Because we are God's family. When you mourn, I mourn. When you rejoice, I rejoice. That's part of being in a family. God grant that we, this family at Trinity Lutheran Church, may indeed take care of one another in mercy and grace, because we are all part of the true family of God. So today, we have, in a sense, gathered in a circle around Jesus. We've gathered around to hear His word, to hear absolution. When we receive Holy Communion, we gather around the altar to receive the Lord's Supper. When we gather around one another and pray to the Lord, He is truly present among us. Because as we've just celebrated in the church here, Christ's resurrection and ascension, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, we are awaiting the Lord's second coming, the joyful family reunion in heaven. So, rejoice. You are part of God's family. you too will be raised. God is present among us. Let us come to the glory of God with thanksgiving. Don't lose heart. This outer nature, the old Adam, is dying and passing away. The new nature will daily be renewed. And you know, life is filled with momentary afflictions, but we have the eternal weight of glory, the eternal building for us in the resurrection prepared for us by God, the Heavenly Father. Let us love one another in God's family in this place as we rejoice in the kingdom of God, the house of God, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard and keep our hearts unto life everlasting. Amen.